Welcome back. It's Overtime. We're live and free on the Odyssey app. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. You can tweet at me tonight. It's at NELL_BTP. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline for the first time in this program. Is where we find our pal Chris Snocki, the color analyst on the Maryland Terrapins Radio Network. Chris, how was your flight, first and foremost, my brother? I appreciate you giving us some time.
Yeah, it's a lot easier flying west to east. You know, you get the tailwinds behind you. The trip to Seattle, the previous week was a forever trip. This wasn't too bad today, but we're back. We're home.
Glad you made it home. You made it home to the city basically being on fire. Is everyone up in arms about the current situation that exists right now with Kevin Willard and whether or not he'll be back with the program? We'll get to that momentarily. I want to ask you about the game here real quick because despite what some are trying to say, I don't think Kevin Willard and his agent speaking to Villanova had any impact on Maryland getting crushed on the glass last night by Florida. Your overall big picture takeaway as to why they ultimately came up short in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a great matchup for the Terps. The one real Achilles heel they have, and it was well noted, and I think everybody understood it, was sort of a lack of depth, and that's just one of those things that Florida has across the board. Great guard play, great depth in the backcourt and in the frontcourt, and we saw last night that even when one of their starting bigs goes down, they got guys that come in and respond, and ultimately, sure, I thought that was a big part of the game. And that's why Florida is 33-4, I think, is what their record is. That's a big time record. Their losses are, are legit losses too. You know, they've lost to a really good team. So it's a good basketball team. I thought Maryland hung in there for a while, but we're never really able to mitigate the damage done by that rebounding margin. They shot the ball well enough in the first half to hide it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then when the shots stopped falling in the second half, and Florida made some nice adjustments to, in their pick and roll defense in the second half. And when Maryland's shots stopped falling, then, the rebounding became especially problematic.
Yeah, it was tough. I thought they really caught a break. When you think about, that was one of Florida's worst offensive performances in the first half all season long, yet you were trailing going into the locker room. I thought when Condon went down, obviously sucks for the player, but I thought it was a huge break for Maryland. They weren't really able to capitalize on it. He's just as tough as nails, gutting it out, coming back in the second half. But to your point, man, just you've been around basketball a long time. You can't win when you're giving that electric of an offense multiple cracks at it per possession.
Yeah, and back to the depth part, when Connor went out, they brought in this kid, Houck, off the bench.
Great.
Who's just a 6'9", bouncy, energetic, active kid, and he got to everything. He shot threes, he made passes, he defended. There's no let up at all with that kind of depth. And, the rebounding was just, you give a team that many cracks at the hoop. You're right. You forced 13 Florida turnovers at half. You shouldn't be down 2 points.
Yeah.
You should be up 6, 8, 10 points in a situation like that. And Terps did not take advantage.
No, they did not. I thought, Julian Reese did a nice job easing them into the basketball game. I know it was a little bit of a slow start for them, but the senior with just a calming presence. Do you felt like they went to him enough in that second half? I think when they did, he was successful, but it was just very clear and obvious. He didn't want to turn over that right shoulder. They were giving it to him. I really appreciated the analyst calling out they're watching the scouting report, reading the scouting report.
Yeah. And I don't think they got it to their bigs in the paint enough.
They didn't, yeah.
I just can't, Queen floating around out there. Now, he's an insane talent, and he's a joy to watch, and it's been a thrill this year to watch him game in, game out. I just wish sometimes he operated a hell of a lot closer to the basket more regularly because he is so dexterous. Well, that footwork is just insane.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's hard to teach something like that, and he does it on every play. I think you're doing Florida or any other opponent a real big solid if you're out there shooting threes and shooting 17 footers.
And it was tough because I kind of get his mentality. He had been like 4 for his last 8 from 3 over the past couple of games, so I get it. But obviously not something that was a part of his game throughout their run during the Big Ten schedule. What is next for this program, man? I mean, you're someone that is obviously very close to what is going on. You've been a college basketball coach yourself. In today's day and today's day and age in NIL, I know we texted about this, like, I continue to say, I think he's being, venom is being spewed at him. I think he's a pioneer for what he had the kahunas to come out and say, because whether he's the coach here next year or not, the guy that comes in is going to have the same problems that he's dealing with and what he's trying to make known to the public. So, like, what do you make of the situation, and was he wrong, I guess, for the timing of it?
Yeah, I think both those things can be true. And I think that he absolutely is right to fight for his program, but I would just suggest to you, Linnell, that, you know, he's got a lot of leverage. He had a lot of leverage by virtue of the season they had. And you have leverage whether you exert it behind the scenes or in front of the public. And I just think for Maryland fans, you know, I think he's a good coach for Maryland, and I think he's a lot like the program itself, just kind of gritty, combative, you know. And I think there are a lot of reasons why you should embrace him as a coach. I just think that rubbed folks the wrong way, you know, that, you know, and it also sort of smacked of, you know, setting up a litany of excuses so that if he should take the Villanova job, he sort of already presented the public case. I hope he stays. I don't know if he's going. I don't have any inside information. I can just tell you it was a quiet trip back for everybody. Yeah. We've been gone 10 days. He was on the trip. He and his family was on the trip, which surprised me a little bit just based on what you read. Yeah. I thought he had a great year. This team had a really good year. Particularly, we started at 1-3 in the Big Ten, and in the early January, it looked like we were headed towards mediocrity, and they turned it around and had a really nice run the last 2 months of the season.
Coach, am I describing this correctly? Because I've been going to bat for him the first hour and a half of the show, man, because I just think the reaction has kind of been, I don't know, and maybe I'm doing the contrarian thing, but I just think it's been a little harsh considering what he's done, what he's had to deal with behind the scenes, maybe that no one else understands, his ability to construct a Sweet 16 roster with his hand tied behind his back, because we know he doesn't have the resources that some of the other coaches in the conference have. Like, what do you think of the job overall he's done this year? Because I think you got to be proud.
He did a great job. The roster construction was terrific. I mean, and they did a really nice job in the portal, which is, you know what, Linnell, we have seen there are just as many examples of money spent wrong in the portal as there is money spent right. He's going to a place, Villanova, where money over the last, and they've got big money to dole out because they don't spend it on football. And Miami, you know, there are plenty of object lessons out there for money spent poorly. So, he identified it. He spent well. He picked up, you know, I don't think any Maryland fans could have picked Jacoby Gillespie out of a lineup when he signed with Maryland, right?
For sure,
and then
for sure.
He's insane. He's just insane how good he is, you know. I don't know what's next. I don't know where we go. I just hope for the program's sake that decisions are made quickly, whether it's Willard deciding to go. If you're going to go, that's your prerogative and your choice. And I would never begrudge a coach an opportunity to investigate other options, for sure. You just don't want to leave people hanging in the wind while you do it, whether it's your assistant coaches or your administration or what have you, or your donors.
Yeah.
He's got every right to do that. I just, you know, I think for a lot of Maryland fans, just the very public airing, the airing of the grievances, the public airing of the grievances was what sort of, I don't know that they want to see how the hot dogs are made, if you know what I'm saying, you know?
I like the way that you put that, for sure. That's real deal, though, man. I get it from both sides of the coin. Like, I get the fans' perspective. I get his perspective as well. Whether he's the coach moving forward or not, like, some of the things that he spoke about before the game against Colorado State, do you expect the next coach or him to still have to deal with those challenges. Like, that to me is the bigger picture issue here. There are systemic issues in the athletic department that he was right or not, wrong time or not, put on blast. Do those get fixed, Naki, and how do those get fixed?
Well, I mean, you know, it's got to be a commitment from the university. I thought that the NIL, the collective that he referenced in his discussion, I thought the NIL had done a really nice job over the last 30 days raising money to make sure that they could sort of make up for that delta between what Willard was promised and what Willard really wants, you know. So they had raised a bunch of money, as I understand, over the last 30, 45 days, and I think that would have made a big difference. Now, here's the kicker, Linnell. I mean, I don't know if I'm a donor and I kicked in $100,000, and I know a couple of guys who did that. Did I do it with a caveat that, hey, if Willard's not here, I want my money back?
That's real. That's real.
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, I think that's a very real. I mean, I just think that's not only is it real, that's a likelihood. So all
because of why I was thrown out in the first place. You're damn right.
Yeah, and so here's the other thing. So I mentioned acting quickly, right? So Willard decides, okay, you know what? I'm gonna cut bait here. I'm going to Villanova, just as an example. So one of the things you could consider doing is if you elevate one of his assistant coaches, you've got a guy, David Cox, who's been there 3 years, done a good job helping him put this roster together. Mm-hmm. Does that allow you? Does that give you a front runner's position in keeping Kobe Gillespie and Rodney Rice? If it does, you know, in this day and age, it's a very transactional sort of world.
Yeah,
and
they're already
behind
the eight ball.
Well, those guys are due big raises, and I think Maryland would be in a position to accommodate those raises. But you just have to act quickly. The longer you have that delta between Willard going and you fill in that position, every day is crushing.
Yeah,
it's crushing because of the way the portal works. So you're way behind if you take, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks to fill that spot.
So knowing that, right? And this is where I'm doing whatever I can to try and defend him. Knowing that is the case, do you think that led to him speaking out the way that he did? Because it's like, look, we're kind of running out of time here. I know we're still playing, but like, what's up?
No, I don't think that led to it at all. I mean, you know, the cynic in me would say, you know, he got the offer and he's you know, you play one against the other.
Uh-huh.
We know how much Villanova has. And, you know, you and I have had this conversation, Linnell. Moving forward, the best basketball jobs in America will be the ones where there's no football pro
yep.
team to pay.
Yep.
You know, Creighton,
yep.
Gonzaga, VCU,
yep.
you know, schools like that. And so those are great, great jobs. And you count Villanova among them. I know they've got a Division I football program without question, but I don't think they're paying like, you know, like most Power Fives are. So at any rate, yeah, there's a lot of consideration here. There's a lot decisions to make, you know, and I heard you just before I tuned in just before I came on. There's also that gap. You don't know who's making the decisions. Who's negotiating? Who's doing that, you know? Willard had referenced his relationship with Brian Ullman, who's a senior associate AD, as being very positive, and maybe that's something that's working for him in terms of being able to negotiate, but I don't know that. I you know, Maryland is such a basketball school, and the program is such a part of the fabric. You'd hope that the president was involved to some degree, but I don't know that either. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. Real quick, you think Derek Queen 100% going?
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to pony up in a major way to be able to keep that kid. Plus, I mean, he's that good. I mean, I hope he goes to the right team for him. You know, you and I have done a bunch of NBA draft shows together, and, you know, it's all about the fit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope he goes to a team that needs him and will play him enough minutes to get him acclimated to the game, because he's a really fun, talented kid.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the temperament of the young man, too, man. I think loved hearing him talk after hitting the game winner. Loved the coverage that he got. You've gotten the chance to be closer to him this year, obviously, than a lot of us have. He just seems like, for a Baltimore kid, just laid back, kind of shy. It was almost like he didn't know what to say after hitting the big shot.
he is a big kid, man.
Yes.
You know, and
baby face assassin.
It's like, yeah, and like every day is a Saturday. You know, I mean, every day is a good day for him. And and I thought he was a really nice counterbalance to Julian Reese, who, you know, those guys were clearly very tight on the road. If you saw one, you saw the other.
Yeah.
And it was a really nice relationship that those guys had. And it was, you know, only one team wins their last game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm well aware of that. But it ended up being a really nice year for this program.
Chris, we'll let you go on this, my friend. Who do you think walks away as the 2025 national champion?
Honestly, I would love to see Florida and Duke in the final. Uh-huh. I have no real dog in the fight, but I just think that would be a great game to watch,
yeah,
as a basketball fan. And I'm all about, at this point in time, give me a 90-85 game any day of the week. I'm all about it.
For
I'm
sure.
all about it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Chris, I appreciate you giving us the time as always, my brother. We'll do it again soon.
I hope so. Talk to you one now.
That is Chris Snocky, one of the absolute best, talking all things college basketball. He's the color analyst for the Maryland Terrapins Radio Network. I always love catching up with C. Knock, man. I mean, just as honest as they get, man. And I'm glad he kind of confirmed some of what we've been talking about, some of my thought process. He's got, I can only imagine. That's why I honestly kind of felt bad asking him some of the questions I asked. I know he works for the university, but he is a pro's pro and gave us all that he could on the situation. I think we need to really brace ourselves as fans for the potential of him returning. Like, the more and more I hear about this and the more and more I get to think on it, I don't know, man. Sometimes, let me go to John Fanta's Twitter. John Fanta's always plugged in. And John Fanta earlier today quote tweeted something from the Baltimore Sun refuting a report. I want to pull it up here. This is from earlier today. John Fanta on his Twitter account. And those of you not familiar with John Fanta, broadcaster and reporter for college basketball on Fox and then the NBC Sports as well. Very familiar with the Big East, very familiar with the Big Ten. Mr. College Basketball is what I call him, man. John Fanta is everywhere, one of the absolute best, talking about all this stuff. He quote tweeted something earlier. It was from the Baltimore Sun, and it was the Baltimore Sun pretty much going out and saying, yeah, you know, this is pretty much a done deal. I'm struggling to find, maybe he deleted it, which would be another layer to all of this. This is from last night's Taylor Lyons of the Baltimore Sun. The tweet says, breaking, Maryland administrators have told at least one prominent Maryland men's booster that Kevin Willard plans to leave for Villanova, a source with direct knowledge of the situation told the Sun. And then John Fanta quote tweeted it and said, this report is not true, a Maryland athletics official tells me. Our focus remains on keeping Coach Willard at the University of Maryland. That's the thing to me, right? Like, for everyone that's ready to kick him out the door, the university still wants him there. As far as I'm concerned, if they are able to meet his demands, he wants to be there. So, like, that's the thing here. Like, it is a lot to chew on. I understand everybody's frustration with it, though. And I think Chris Knocky did an excellent job, you know, showing the other side of the argument, man. And I think I tried to as well, but I'm on my side of the fence with this thing. Like, I just think, you know, to me, there's so many layers to the conversation, and I don't view him as some villain in all of this just because of how he handled it. Guys make mistakes. Guys do. And I know he came out last night like a straight gangster move. It was like, no, I don't regret how I've handled this one bit. And I believe him when he says that. Because I think, like I said, he's fighting a bigger fight here. Now, the big thing that I know people are upset about, and we've talked about it ad nauseum here to start the first 2 hours of the show, it's a time and a place. A little Gunner reference there. But no, it's a time and place for everything. And, like, I totally get that. But to crucify him for it and then to hear the conversation be, you know, like added to, like, oh, it was such a distraction for the team. Like, that part of it, like, come on. I don't really buy that. I don't buy that. I've been around teams that have been distracted. I've been around teams that the coach, you don't know if he's going to be there next year or not. My Division III college football team, we were actively trying to get the coach fired. Didn't stop people from showing up and playing hard. Because at the end of the day, whether they're going to be there at another destination, you want to put your best stuff on tape. And I think these players understand, especially in today's day and age, the current landscape of college basketball. They're not stupid. Kevin Willard's a hell of a coach, man. He's going to have people after him. And I think what he said was true. I hope he's being honest about it. He said straight up, look, I told my guys, man, what the situation was. I told them what it is and what it ain't. Straight up. And I think he deserves credit for that. And like I said, I believe him when he says, I haven't talked to anyone. It's his agent. It's what agents are for. So tell him to tell his agent, hey, hit me up. Hit me up, brother. Give me some representation. Negotiate me a deal. In all seriousness, though, like I can't blame him for that, man. I wish him the best, whether it's at Maryland, whether it's at Villanova. I'm thankful and appreciative of what he was able to do this year in College Park, putting together a Sweet 16 team and getting Maryland basketball back buzzing, man. I never thought, when I first started working here at the Fan, man, I first started doing hosting, right? I never talked about Maryland basketball, not in this light. Y'all know my conversation that I'm always beating the drum about with Maryland and Georgetown. Can we keep our local talent home? That's all I always talk about. This year it was different, man. You kept a local talent home in Derrick Queen. I know he missed the year, but you got Rodney Rice from Suitland. Like that stuff to me matters, man. I think it's a super important conversation that has to be had, whether or not, you know, Kevin Willard is the head coach moving forward or not. Like I said numerous times here throughout the show, whether Willard's the coach, whether it's Buzz Williams, and I wish I got the chance to ask Naki any names potentially that he could think of that would be an interesting fit if Willard decided to move on. But, like, I continue to say that no matter whether it was Kevin Willard or whoever the next guy is, the systemic issues that exist within the athletic department are going to be there whether Willard's the coach or not. And he's fighting for it, man. He's fighting for it hard. And I give him a ton of credit, man. You got to fight the good fight sometimes. You got to tick some people off. I hate to bring this back to like the civil rights era and stuff like that, but you think Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, you think they piss people off fighting for what they wanted? The same thing Kevin Willard's doing, but on obviously a way smaller scale because we just talk about basketball. Like, man, he's fighting, man. He thinks that Maryland, and I believe him. I 100% believe him. And anybody that's from here that understands the basketball hotbed that the DMV is, this has the chance to be a perennial Sweet 16 team. Not to where we're celebrating and throwing parades over an appearance. Like, this could be their reality year in, year out, if they had the appropriate resources to compete with the other schools in the Big Ten, the other schools across the country who continue to steal our talent right from our backyard. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well, at NELL_BTP. Michael's in College Park, wants to chime in. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks a lot for taking the call.
For sure, no problem.
I agree with you 100%, man. This is, this number one, everybody seems to be upset that because, oh, the players were going to be hurt by this and their feelings are going to be hurt. These people, they're near professionals.
Michael, you hit it on the head. They're damn near pros at this point. The check says so.
Yeah, and they can handle this stuff. They know what goes on. And again, he's fighting for the program to get better for everybody to enjoy this kind of basketball more and more often. So I have no qualms with what he was discussing and letting people know that there's a problem in with the athletic department in dispersing some funds. So, you know, more power to him.
Would you accept him back here next year?
Oh yeah, I would welcome him back.
I'm hoping he's back. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah. Like, me too.
For sure.
So, anyway,
Michael, appreciate the call, brother. Have a good weekend, my man. 1-800-636-1067. How do we move on from the Terps? I feel like I want to talk Terps all night. Can't do that, though. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll keep things on the hardwood. Certain basketball team gave up a lot of points last night. People People are tweeting about it. We'll discuss the Wizards and their poor defensive effort last night next here on The Fan.
Last night was definitely not our best effort. We've been playing much better of late. The road trip where we had that 13-day road trip and came back for two back-to-backs, mm-hmm. I thought we were pretty competitive. I thought we showed a little less resilience last night that we'll be able to fix. But again, not our best effort. We were down a lot of bodies. They obviously shot the ball really, really well. So we had been playing better of late, so we'll get back to it on Saturday.
Small Dawkins, general manager of the Washington Wizards, earlier this morning with the Sports Junkies right here on 106.7 The Fan. Last night, tough night for the D.C. family. Wizards lost 162-109, and it was the most points ever given up in franchise history.
I don't think I've ever seen a team score 109 points and lose by 50.
Yeah, it's tough. But listen, I care less. Honestly, I could care less. This group has showed so much growth, so much promise throughout the course of this year that they get a pass from me for last night. 100%. They get a pass for last night from me. Alex Starr played great. Will Dawkins, some people are going to call it excuse making. I'm going to call it him being real. They were down a lot of bodies last night. They were. And for looking at it from the standpoint of, well, did your youngins play well? Alex Starr, 22 points, 7 boards, 8 of 15 from the field. Bob Carrington, 13 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds on 5 of 12 shooting, 3 of 6. From downtown, Colby Jones gave you great minutes last night off the bench. A.J. Johnson, though, didn't shoot it well. You got to get an extended look at him. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to try and crucify them for what happened last night. And I have been as critical of the Wizards as anybody in this market. So, I'm going to chill on them. I think it was just a bad night. Sucks that it was at home, right? Like, that's the tough part about it. It was at home. They're back in action tomorrow. They play host to the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think they'll give up 162 tomorrow. I don't. I think they deserve a lot of credit, man. Since February 1st, in my opinion at least, this team has really turned a corner. And I'm not talking about from a wins and losses standpoint. I'm talking about them being more competitive night in, night out. I'm talking about sizable growth, sizable steps forward being taken from your three rookies, Keyshawn George, Bob Carrington, and the rookie of the year favorite, in my opinion, Alex Starr. For a draft that most people said was, you know, scarce of talent, they've got arguably the three best players in the damn class. All three of their rookies should make their all-rookie team. Alex Starr, first team, Bub and Keyshawn, second team. Book it. So, like, that's what you want. You want your young guys to show promise. You're still tanking, whether you're going to admit it or not. Like, you're trying to earn as high of a draft pick as possible while also building good habits. And I think during the first half of this season, that was not true. That wasn't happening. I think since February 1st, the date that I keep going back to, not only are they, you know, very much tanking properly, but they're competing every night. They're building and creating good habits. I can't say enough about what Will Dawkins and company have done since they've taken over here. And looking at what they did at the trade deadline, acquiring Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton, two veterans that if you're trying to establish a culture, if you're trying to find out what your identity is going to be, if you want that to be on the defensive end, what better guy to bring in than Marcus Smart? And I love the way they've handled their minutes. So I think it's been great. I saw this comment from Chris Middleton, though, that the Wizards can make the playoffs next year. Maybe they can. Who knows what happens if you get Cooper Flagg or whoever they end up with their lottery pick this year, their top 5 guaranteed pick. I just think you shouldn't be trying to make the playoffs next year because there's still draft capital out there. It's very valuable to you, right? Next year's draft is great, too. Everyone's lauding this year's class. Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. But what about A.J. DeBantha? What about the Boozer Twins? What about Elijah Arenas? It's going to be a loaded class for 2026. So I think the Wizards are in a great spot. And I think last night was just an anomaly. And I've seen them get crushed on social media by folks. Calm down. I want to hear from you all, though. 1-800-636-1067. How would you grade the Wizards' rebuild to this point? Knowing everything you know about it. Knowing the young talent that they have acquired. Knowing where things currently stand. Knowing what's next. Knowing how good they are. Knowing the youngins they've brought in. How would you grade this rebuild? Will Dawkins, Mike Winger, Travis Schlenk, the powers that be in that front office, I think they have done a phenomenal job. And they are in excellent hands talking about this organization. I don't know if any of you all could tell or not. How much are y'all basketball savants, I guess? They're trying to build OKC East here in Washington. And let's just say, I think they're off to a hell of a start in doing so. Just saying. 1-800-636-1067. I said they're off to a hell of a job. How good of a job do I think the Wizards front office has done during this rebuild? I want your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Grade the Wizards rebuild to this point. That's next on The Fan. Creeping up on the final hour of power right here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. Take you up to 10 o'clock. Mark Zuckerman, Mastin.com, going to join us top of the 9 o'clock hour as we talk about the bullpen blues from yesterday for your Washington Nationals. Really solid effort from Mackenzie Gore. And look at me downplaying. A historic effort. From Mackenzie Gore yesterday on opening day. Not just Nats history, MLB history. Mackenzie Gore yesterday joining Bob Gibson as the only pitchers in the modern era to strike out 13, walk none, and give up zero runs in a season opener. And speaking of that, Juan Soto just hit his first home run as a Met. So there's that. Yeah, really impressive outing last night for the Nats, and I think anybody that watched yesterday, it makes sense, the whispers that we have been hearing coming out of spring training, that look, and I'll just be real about it, whether anyone outside the organization or even inside the organization believes that the Nats, they think that they're ready to take that next pivotal step in terms of this long rebuild and compete in the NL East. I think it's the right mentality to have. I think with them about to get the naming rights deal for the stadium, jersey sponsor, TV rights deal, and then the development of your young pups, Dylan Cruz, James Wood, Robert Hassel, K-Bear Ruiz showing signs, Jacob Young. I want to see how Jake Irvin looks tomorrow, first and foremost. Like, that's also what I'm ready to see. Because if you can have two legitimate studs at the top of your pitching staff in Mackenzie Gore and Jake Irvin, I think it changes the trajectory of this season. But the thing is this, like, I think the messaging coming out of the organization, I think the reason it is what it is that they're trying to get or Davey is, I guess, trying to get ownership to spend some money, man. If you're a young pup, show promise, then I think if you're the learners, you're more inclined to go spend. If your young pups can show promise and that they're ready. A lot of people killed them for what their lack of activity this offseason. I think pretty good offseason. You get in, bring in Nathaniel Lowe, add some pop to your lineup as well as getting a Gold Glover on defense. And then Josh Bell, we know he's been at the plate. So, like, I think he got better. It just wasn't that massive step forward that people were thinking. See, people wanted them to go get Jacob Fried. Like, you know, or Max Fried rather, Jacob Fried. People wanted him to go get Max Fried. That's what I, if I'm looking at a big move that the Nats could have made this offseason, a bigger move, it would have been adding a surefire ace to your rotation like Max Fried, but they didn't. You know, they made some moves in between the margins, and I think they're counting on the development of their guys in-house taking them over the hump. And to be frank with you, I don't think it's a bad way to think. I don't. I mentioned K-Bear Ruiz to start the show. Think about what last year was for him. Think about how disappointing of a year it was for K-Bear Ruiz a season ago. Right? There were expectations. And be honest, just didn't live up to it. Batting just .229 a season ago. I mean, it just wasn't good. Wasn't good. .619 on base percentage. Well, excuse me, .260 rather on base percentage. It's not good enough. Just not good enough. And for him to start the season the way he did yesterday, defensively and with his bat, throwing out Schwarber in the second, singling off of Zach Wheeler in the third, then hitting a homer off of Wheeler in the fifth to break the 0-0 tie. Like, it was an impressive outing for K-Bear Ruiz. And if you can get a bounce-back season out of him, if James Wood can start to show that MVP potential that we know he all has, and then if Dylan Cruz could be the stud at the plate that we know he could be and be an ace defensively. And I know he had a tough drop yesterday that kind of broke things open. But look, these young pups that they have in-house, I think are very good. The big question is going to be, when can they turn great, right? When do they become great? And for James Wood, I think that's this year. For James Wood, I think that's this year. And for the other guys, I think to be determined, right? Like, I think Dylan Cruz had a chance to be a special, special player in the outfield and a really good bat. I think Mackenzie Gore, that's the thing with Mackenzie Gore. Like, we saw him and Jake Irvin. We saw this last year, them show signs of being elite, ace caliber type of pitchers. The consistency is just what's been lacking. So we will see how this moves forward, but I'm excited about it, man. I think it's going to be a fun Washington Nationals season. Do they make the postseason? I don't know. Still, to me, an uphill climb. 1-800-636-1067. Final hour of power coming up here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. Mark Zuckerman, Masson.com, joins us next to give us the latest from opening day and his expectations for Jake Irvin tomorrow on the Pup. That is next right here on The Fan.